Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm delighted to be joined by an absolute top guest, top goalkeeper, currently Norwich and Scotland number one, Angus Gunn. Welcome, mate.
Obviously went off to a flying start and, you know, beat Cyprus at home and in Spain.
Have they managed to get you on Buckfast or at Mad Dog yet? You came through all the ranks of England youth team and you even got a call up to the first team.
It's an absolute honour to play for Scotland and I'm glad that the fans have sort of welcomed me.
But obviously your dad's Brian Gunn, an absolute legend of the game.
Bring his gloves next time. He's going to be a goalkeeper.
Obviously signing for Man City at 15, but I've got it in my notes for £250,000 at that time.
But things happen and I end up signing at Southampton, so really strong debut at Stamford Bridge, which was another unbelievable feeling, getting my Premier League debut. Got the loan deal done with maybe 5 minutes to go.
No way.
Deadline day, so that was my first experience of deadline day.
That's class, though, that. What does a goalkeeper's union mean to you?
What a save from Mark Howard.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Yours, Mine, Away podcast with me, Mark Howard. Today, I am honoured and I'm delighted to be joined by an absolute top guest, top goalkeeper, currently Norwich and Scotland number one, Angus Gunn. Welcome, mate.
Nice to be here.
Mate, thanks for coming in. Thanks for the effort coming in from Norwich, mate. An easy journey.
Nice little day off, so yeah.
Yeah, lovely. Obviously, I've prized you away from your home and that, but yeah, like I said, delighted to have you in. Obviously, playing for Scotland and that, and playing for Norwich at the moment. Massive family ties to the club and that, which we'll get on to, but massive congratulations on Scotland qualifying for Euro 2024.
Yeah, no, thank you. It's I've said it to a few people, it's just been a bit of a whirlwind couple of months. I think it was March, my first camp, ever since then, obviously went off to a flying start, beat Cyprus at home and then Spain. Spain game at Hampden Park was pretty special, and ever since that we've been riding the wave, and we were sort of happy to get over the line when Norway didn't win the other night, and I think we had a few celebrated drinks in Glasgow on that night, and just really looking forward to the summer now.
One thing I always think when I watch Scotland play, and obviously what you see after, it's just the team spirit just looks ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I've said it many times, like. Obviously, I came in as a bit of an outsider, and I think after the first camp, I was at home, and the lads welcomed me so well. I think it helped me knowing quite a few of the lads already, I think obviously results and winning games helps that as well. So it's a really close knit group, and I'd liken it to a family really at the moment, hopefully we can. Go to the Euros in the summer and have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. As long as you give a good account of yourself, but you've got such a good, talented young squad as well. Even yourself as a goalkeeper, you're still very young. It's actually a Scotland squad that you actually think could go on and do something quite special. Obviously, getting there is the hardest part, and you've managed to achieve that, so you may as well go and have a free hit at it.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think people have seen in the games that we've played that we've got a lot of quality. Even in the games that we've lost, you know, in the sort of friendlies recently, you know, we've made a good account of ourselves. Obviously, fell up short against sort of England and France, but you know, we caused those teams problems. So I think if we can do that, and you know, sometimes you need a bit of luck as well in games like that against big teams. And yeah, who knows? See how far we can get.
Have they managed to get you on Buckfast or Mad Dog yet?
No, nothing yet. I think, to be fair, even
strictly tenants.
To be fair, I'm not really a massive drinker. I think, but yeah, no. I think, you know, all the lads, we had a good time when we qualified, and probably when we're celebrating after the summer, we'll have a few of them. Yeah.
Yeah. As we were speaking off air, you obviously came through all the ranks of England youth team, and you even got a call up to the first team. How different is it, and how honoured were you to actually go and represent Scotland, obviously with your old man playing for them?
It's something that was talked about quite a lot, and you know, for me it wasn't really much of a big deal, to be honest. Obviously, you know, I grew up in England, was born here and everything like that, but at the same time, obviously, I knew my dad's played for Scotland 6 times, so you know, I always supported both teams when I was growing up. Obviously had a, you know, unbelievable opportunity and chance to represent England from a young age, which I really enjoyed, and you know, sort of gave me a platform in my career as well to sort of go on to what I've achieved. So I will always be thankful for them, but at the same time, I think at the stage in my career I was at, obviously started playing regularly at Norwich, had a conversation with the manager, and you know, I jumped at it straight away. So it's an absolute honour to play for Scotland, and you know, I'm, you know, glad that the fans have sort of welcomed me. Obviously, results help as well, and hopefully we can, you know, go on and have many more enjoyable years.
Yeah, no, definitely. Right, I want to talk about your dad a little bit as well. So obviously, your dad's Brian Gunn, an absolute legend of the game. But like, especially at Norwich, gone on to achieve pretty much everything at Norwich and played hundreds of games, and end up managing them as a caretaker, and that it's one of the clubs that you came through at. There's massive family ties, like I said. Is it hard with everybody knowing your dad so well, to the pressure that's on you to have came through that system?
I think maybe when I was younger it was a bit harder, but I think as I've grown up, obviously I had a period where I was away and came back, but as I've grown up, I've learned to sort of deal with it pretty easily. And when I was younger, it probably was, you know, quite hard, because obviously, you know, I was in the academy there, and you know, you always sort of think people think you're there for, you know, different reasons. But you know, I think from a young age, obviously I was always, you know, quite talented, so I think I always used to like doing my talking on the pitch. So you know, I as I grew up, I sort of dealt with it pretty easily, and now it's something that I sort of relish and you know, welcome, and I think it gives me even more sort of support from the fans now as well.
Yeah, obviously a lot of people from the outside especially will say, oh, because your dad's a player there, a coach there, that their son has a natural right of path. But like, it's never that case. You have to be good enough to play, and you have to earn your stripes, and you clearly did that. And obviously we'll get on to like your move to Man City at such a young age, but is it sometimes a bit clouded because of like your dad working for the club?
Potentially, but I think when I sort of started sort of getting into sort of England squads and stuff like that when I was younger, I think that's when people sort of realised that, you know, I'm, you know, here on my own merit, and you know, I'm, you know, pretty decent goalkeeper. So I think
you're underselling yourself massively.
So it was a weird sort of situation, but like I said, I grew up with it pretty much my whole life. Yeah. So I learned to deal with it pretty easily.
Normal.
To be honest.
Yeah. He's just dad, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. I've got a couple of quick fire questions, right? Yeah. Just to smash into. Catch or parry?
Catch.
Favourite goalie kit colour?
Black.
Everyone says black. Black, it's really popular.
Yeah.
Right. Play out from the back or kick it long?
Play out from the back.
Right. Favourite ever goalkeeper?
Peter Cech.
Yeah.
Yeah, Peter Cech.
Like, yeah, you'd have came through at that era at Chelsea.
When he first came, and yeah,
his Lotto boot and glove combo.
Pardon?
Is it his Lotto boot and glove combo? Remember them?
I'm not sure it was that. It's just more of like just how good he was.
Yeah, he was class.
I mean, obviously, he started winning everything.
Yeah,
so.
He had an unbelievable top hand save in every game somehow.
Yeah, no, he's I just remember him just being out of this world.
Yeah. Right. Match of the day or Sky Sports News?
Match of the day.
Classic. How tall are you?
6'5".
Yeah, right. Who's the best goalie in the world right now?
Say Edison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just got a bit of everything.
Yeah. I think, yeah, obviously, the way Man City play, I think, suits him unbelievably well. So I think, yeah, him and Alisson, I think, are the probably the top two.
Two.
Yeah.
Way ahead of everyone else.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree. Right, head tennis or two touch?
Both, but if I had to pick, head tennis.
Right, and then last one. Two touch, yeah.
No, head tennis.
Oh, head tennis, yeah. Yeah, it's competitive,
I like
isn't
them
it?
Both, but yeah.
Yeah. Right, and then last one is last minute of a game. You can either save a penalty to win the game or go up and score a goal.
Score a goal.
Yes, yeah. Finally. Only proper goalies say score. You need to score a goal at some point.
Yeah, to be fair, not every game, but quite a lot of games, like maybe the night before going to the game, I always dream of it or think of it in my head.
Yeah.
Just imagine it.
There's certain points in games, you know, when you're drawing or you're losing, you're like, I know I can go up here. I can be effective.
Yeah, it is a big dream of mine that I'd score a goal.
I mean, I'd take anything. I'd take a kick in the wind. I don't know what I'd do though. Mm. You reckon you've got a cellar you'd go to?
Nah, I'd just probably jump into the crowd.
Yeah.
Take the crazy. Yeah,
nice. You. Right. I know now I normally kick this off with how you got into goalkeeping. So obviously, probably tie into speaking about your dad. But do you remember the first time you ever thought, yeah, you know what, I'm going to be a goalie?
When I was younger, I used to like prefer playing outfield.
Yep. Same, everyone does.
It's the same with most people. And I think I was, you know, 7 or 8, probably 8, trialing for Norwich outfield. And, you know, in the trials, it was basically just playing sort of 8-a-side once a week at the training ground. And obviously they just looked to see if they want to sign you. And I think it was, you know, coming towards the end of the year when they was going to choose who was going to sort of join the academy at under-9s. And then I think the keeper got injured. And I think I was probably hiding a little bit. But someone obviously turned around and said, like, you go in goal. And I was like, right, okay. And yeah, ended up doing well. And then the coach came over to me and I think it was my mum after the training session and said, bring his gloves next time and he's going to be a goalkeeper.
Yeah. Didn't have any say in it. It just got
Didn't have a say. Kind of got forced into it. And yeah, then I think a couple months later I was signed for the Academy under-9. So yeah. That was how it happened, really.
See, that journey home, obviously, after like being told that, did you think, I don't want to do that? Or did you think, oh, I'm going to go home and tell Dad that I'm now a goalie?
I think, yeah, because I was so young, I was just like, yeah, like, go for it. Why not?
Yeah.
But apparently my mum was very reluctant to sort of
not
let
surprised.
It happen. Yeah, and obviously dealing with my dad for however long throughout his career.
Highs and lows and a lot more lows.
Yeah, so I don't think she was very happy at the start. But yeah, no, I think after I went in and started enjoying it, and yeah, after that I didn't really look back.
Yeah, obviously, like at such a young age to almost get thrust into it,
yeah,
is daunting. And you, considering you've not played with your mates, Sunday league, you've just gone straight into an academy, but then you've gone on to work the whole way through, is actually a hell of an achievement.
Yeah, no, I think obviously I used to, you know, mess about with my mates and that playing in goal, but I never really enjoyed it. But sort of even I think up to about 14, 15 at school, I used to like still want to play outfield because that was like the only chance I'd probably get.
Yep.
So I'd always sort of try and play for my school team outfield and stuff like that. But yeah, no, I think at that age, you just sort of if someone tells you that that's where they want you to play, I was like, yeah, go on, like might as well.
Did you see Norwich then? Obviously, I don't know if this relates to you, but I did, right? So I was at Arsenal Academy for 9 years old, but like that was work. And then so I'd play for my school, my borough, my county, but outfield.
Yeah.
So like that was like me just having fun, enjoying football. And then every time I turned up for training for Arsenal, I was like there to work, I was there to learn, I was there to get better. It was like it was school for me. And like the games were the same, but I used to have like my own release in other teams away and just thought about it totally different.
Yeah, no, I think, it sounds pretty similar. I think I used to sort of get more enjoyment out of, you know, playing with my mates and in the school team. And then, like I said, when I went to the academy and sort of trained every couple times a week, I think it was when I was younger, that was when there was a bit more pressure and I had to really focus. So, sounds very similar.
Yeah. Right, well, sounds similar until you get to 15 and Man City put a bid in for you. Obviously, signing for Man City at 15, I've got it in my notes for £250,000 at that time. It's obviously, it's a lot of money, but it's the move that goes with it. Obviously, you moving house from being in settled at, in Norwich to then going, right, you're going to be putting, was you in digs or did you move?
No.
Did the family move?
Because I was obviously still a schoolboy. What happened was my dad got a job up in Manchester with my agency. And I had, that's why I had to leave, because I was relocating with my family. So, obviously it went to a tribunal or whatever, and, the clubs worked it out. Moved up my family, which I think helped me settle in a lot easier. And, it was one of them things that was obviously coming from Norwich. It's not really, I wouldn't say sort of the busiest place, or sort of I wasn't really used to sort of the big cities or anything like that. So moving to somewhere like that was pretty daunting and a little bit scary. But I think ever since I moved there, I was never looking back. And obviously with what was happening at the club at the time with the takeover and everything like that,
because that was right at that point.
It was pretty much at the start.
Yep.
And I think like before I was signing, they were showing me all the plans for the training ground and obviously the stadium development and stuff like that. So that was a big pull, and obviously I knew there'd be a lot of talent coming through the door as well to sort of compete with. So it was a no-brainer for me at that age, really.
Did you find that you upped your levels when you moved to City? Like, obviously, you get used to being in a small bubble in Norwich, and obviously the pressure and the expectation level. But you get a move like that to a club that's on the up. Is that difficult, or is it you thrived off it?
Yeah, no, I think I thrived off it. I think obviously from sort of going away with international teams, it was probably quite similar to that sort of the standard. Obviously it always gets lifted when you go away with that kind of level of team. So and I think when I first went as well, I trained a lot with the youth team, which obviously was another step up as well. I felt like I thrived off it. I think at times, like any sort of youngster, you always find things hard, especially when you're sort of getting pushed to your limit against players that are older than you. But I think that really helped me, and if anything, pushed me on to try even harder.
Yeah, I remember watching some of your international games when you was young, and I was thinking, cool, I got a top goalie like coming out here, and but then when you trace it back, that obviously a lot of I'm going to say you're old man again, but like you're tight in, and the move that you got, it was no surprise really. So like you obviously being at Man City at that time and pushing yourself, but then going back to your own age group with the international scene, you must have found it a lot easier almost. And that's probably why you thrive so much on that scene.
I think always from a young age, I always got pushed to, and I enjoyed playing sort of up an age group or a couple of age groups. And I think that always helps sort of getting used to that sort of level, the expectation, the standard. And I think, even if sometimes you might find it hard, like you said, like when you go back down to your own age group, people then look at you like, this level, like his standard is unbelievable. Yeah. But I think that was because I was getting pushed so much, and you don't really think about it at the time. Sometimes you think, oh, this is probably a little bit too hard or whatever. But I think, once you sort of realise it's for a reason and it's going to make you better, then I think, I just used to always enjoy getting pushed and pushed.
Who were the first team goalies at City at the time?
When I first went, I think it was, obviously Joe Hart was there. I think that's, definitely Shea Given was there at the time. I think it was at the period where they sort of, there was a few injuries. I think it was just before when Joe sort of started you know, getting into the team and having that unbelievable period that he did. I was sort of there for that period and sort of watched it from close. So I think at the start, obviously, I was quite young, so it was more with the academy. And then, like, the older I got, the more opportunities I got to train with sort of him and Richard Wright. Who's there as well? Pantilimon. Big 7 foot Costel Pantilimon. Those kind of experiences were, you know, brilliant.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Yeah, it must have been amazing. And as you're saying, like, your development was continuing, and the more that you started to train with them and picking their brains, and someone like Joe, even the same age as me, I look up to him of what he achieved and how he performed at that level for so long. So it's like for you to see them day to day and pick up traits of total different goalkeepers. You're a tall goalie yourself, so even seeing Pantamilla making saves, that you would have went, oh, I tell you what, I can take some of that. But then there'd have been other things you went, absolutely not for me.
I think, you know, being able to sort of go up close and train with someone like Joe was unbelievable. And I think, you know, his sort of enthusiasm and his, you know, love for goalkeeping definitely, you know, can't not rub off on you. And, you know, he's definitely someone that I always looked up to before, but, you know, since working with him, you know, even more so.
Yeah, class. And then obviously, as you start to get to that point and you're doing well international-wise, yeah, there must have reached a point where you're like, where's my development? Where's that next step? And obviously yours was to go out on loan. Most people go on loan National League and they'll work their way through. You went straight into Norwich, didn't you?
I think at the time, like the year or even a couple of years before that, I was always trying to push for a loan, you know, sort of League One, trying, you know, even if it was sort of just an emergency one, just to get a few games. But they never really sort of let me do it. And at the time, it was just when the sort of Youth Champions League started. So they were actually, you know, those kind of standards of games were probably similar level, if not even harder than sort of lower league. So, you know, I never really got the opportunity at a young age to go out, which, you know, probably would have been a good thing for me. But, at the same time, being at a club like Man City, it was just being around that kind of environment was you know, amazing. And I think the year before I went out to Norwich was Pep's first year at Man City. And he came in and said that he wanted me as number three there. For me, that was a no-brainer. Like, I was like, yeah, absolutely, I'm staying here for the year.
Because sometimes it's hard to get out of the bigger clubs because they hoard goalkeepers, don't they? Because they use them for the shooting drills and extra training sessions, and the squads are bigger, so you need more bodies and you need more goalies.
100%. And I think at that age, I was, you know, obviously more than willing to be that and, you know, go, you know, just be in that environment, really. You know, with those type of players. And then I think I realised towards the end of that season that, you know, now's my time that I need to sort of go and play. And obviously I, you know, spoke to them about that and they were happy. And, you know, we managed to find or had a couple of options, but obviously Norwich was there and, that was another no-brainer.
Yeah, perfect fit, really. Yeah. Obviously you went on to go on loan to Norwich and you was an ever-present that season, playing every game. Like, even that in itself, your first loan move, and they, even if you were having tricky periods, it just stuck with you. Like that sort of grounding that would have given you in that first year of playing competitive football. Like that's obviously where you get your drive from a little bit now. And you know that you just want to get out there and play games, don't you?
Yeah, no, I think at that time, I think I signed, and then I think the week or a couple of weeks after I signed, that's when they brought Fark in as the manager. So they didn't actually have a manager at the time when I signed, but it was, you know, Stuart Webber just went there, you know, wanted to bring me in. And then, yeah, I think, you know, that season it was probably a more of a transitional one for the club. But obviously for me as a young keeper, you know, and the manager was brilliant with me. And, you know, he gave me that confidence, like you said, the trust that he had in me, played every league game. And yeah, no, ever since then, I've always sort of made that a target mine at every club sort of before the season that I want to try and play every league game.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, things happen, injuries happen, but I think you set that target, you know, hopefully that will just push you on to sort of, you know, try and stay in the team wherever you are. But yeah, no, he was great for me. And yeah, that first loan was, even if it wasn't perfect, it was, you know, really, really special for me, I think.
Yeah, class, what a level to go and learn your trade at as well. Like, you're not dropping down leagues and getting beaten up every game. You're actually going out playing proper competitive football from a really high standard. And obviously that the benefit is in that. You can see it now in how you play and you handle the pressure of... It's like you thrive off that a bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's one of them where you sort of get thrown into it and, you know, you sort of either sort of crumble or, you know, take it on. And I think... I don't think I've ever sort of... had that feeling on a football pitch since my first league game when I was, I think it was at Craven Cottage, Fulham away. You know, that feeling I had before the game and like when the game kicked off, like, I've never had that sort of rush in my body on a football pitch, you know, again, really. So yeah, no, that was a special moment and just thought, you know, that just gave me the confidence to sort of kick on from there, really. Yeah.
See, at the end of that season, then being an ever present in the league, where's your mind at? Are you thinking, right, do I go back to City now? Yeah. Do I push to try and play? Do I try and get myself another loan move?
Yeah, no, I think it's one of them that you always look back on and always question yourself, did you make the right decision or, you know, were you a little bit too, you know, greedy to leave? But I made my mind up pretty early. I didn't want to go back to City and just sort of be there, sort of number three or, you know, maybe even number two, I don't know. But, you know, I made my mind up pretty early and, yeah, no, I think there was a few clubs that came in and, you know, looking back, maybe it would have been better to get another loan, sort of, you know, get that sort of, like I had in that year at Norwich, game time in the whole season. And you know what things happened and you know end up signing at Southampton, so I think you know at that time it felt like the right decision and you know I don't regret it now. You know I really enjoyed my time there and yeah no it was you know a crazy time in my life really.
Yeah, Southampton's always had a really good depth of goalkeepers and even when you were there were some really top goalkeepers that you're working with and competing against. Like that's a total different scenario from the year before where you as an established number one to then having to fight day in, day out for your spot. Was that like, I know that it's enjoyable at times, but it's also when you go home and reflect, it's a lot harder.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, that few years in my life was like an interesting one. It's probably, when I was there was probably the time where I learned, you know, most about myself and sort of what it really is like sort of in the football world, really. So yeah, no, I, you know, at the time I probably, you know, didn't deal with it great, but looking back, it probably helped me sort of to get where I am now. Yeah, like you said, the quality of keepers that were there at the time, it pushed me even more to work harder in training. And, you know, at times I had sort of spells there where I got into the team and, you know, done pretty well and, you know, it just never really sort of materialised long term and didn't really click, which, you know, for whatever reason happened and, you know, but at the same time I really enjoyed you know, my time at the club.
That's what I mean. See, like the season before at Norwich, where you're an ever present. That's because you know that you're playing week in, week out. You can probably play with more freedom.
Yeah,
you can go out and enjoy it more and express yourself a bit more.
Yeah.
Where like the season after, like you feel like the caliber of goalkeepers that are around. No disrespect to the ones that were at Norwich, but like the ones that are at Southampton, you're going, if I make one mistake here, I'm not going to play for the next 4 or 5 games, and I've got to like try and build my way back into a team. And, or wait for an opportunity. It's such goalkeeping like that is so hard because the mindset you have to change depending on different managers, different clubs, different goalkeepers that you're playing with. Like the competition is so hard that people don't understand what goes on behind the scenes mentally for us.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think, to be fair, for me at that time, I knew I wasn't going in to be number one. I knew I was going in to challenge Alex McCarthy at the time, who was playing. So from my point of view, it was, you know, an opportunity to push at a Premier League club, and I think halfway through the season we changed managers from, you know, Mark Hughes to Hassan Hüttl, who came in, and you know, we were in a difficult position, and I think that maybe put back my chance a little bit because the manager changed, and obviously he needed a chance to look at the players that were playing. But yeah, no, I think it was around Christmas, New Year time when I got an opportunity in the Premier League, and you know, I had a really, really strong debut at Stamford Bridge, you know, which was another unbelievable feeling, getting my Premier League debut. And I didn't play straight away after that. I think it was maybe a month or 2 months down the line where I came back into the team, and then sort of the team picked up results, and it was just sort of on a roll, really. And you know, getting thrown into sort of a relegation battle like that, I didn't really feel too much pressure. I just sort of thought, you know, I'm playing the Premier League here, I just got to enjoy it. And yeah, no, we managed to stay up, and you know, that was a good end to the season that year.
Yeah, but being in a relegation battle compared to in a promotion fight is such a different feeling. And in the dressing room, the mentality like it's a whole different learning experience for, especially for a goalie. Like the way that you end up playing when you're in a relegation battle, and you go ultra safe because you can't make mistakes because it could cost you 3 points, and it changes the way that you play naturally as a goalkeeper. I've thrived off it sometimes when you're like that siege mentality of like, can't get beat today, can't concede because we will lose.
Yeah, no. I think because I was obviously so young, I think at that age I didn't really think about it too much. I think maybe if I was in that situation now, maybe, you know, I'd probably be, you know, more worried, like thinking like that. But I think at that age I was just buzzing to be playing in the Premier League. So I think that probably helped me at that time,
No, class, right. Let's just go on to Stoke and moving back to Norwich. So you had a brief loan spell at Stoke to go and get some games again. What did you find it like?
It was a weird one because I think it was in the middle of the COVID sort of period.
Strange period for everyone in football.
Yeah, no, so I think it was time at Southampton where they made it clear that I wasn't sort of going to be involved. I think Fraser just came back from Celtic. So he was on the bench. I wasn't even on the bench at that time. And then because it was the COVID year, the transfer window didn't close till October or something like that. And I think a few things happened. I think, you know, Jack Butland moved from Stoke to Palace on deadline day. And they obviously wanted to bring a keeper in. And I think got the loan deal done with maybe 5 minutes to go.
No way.
Deadline day. So that was my first experience of deadline day.
That's class, though, that.
But I think because it was a loan move, I could do everything from the training ground in Southampton. Yeah. So it wasn't one of them where I was rushing about and things like that. That was a crazy period. And I think.
On that, right? Behind the scenes, it's carnage, isn't it? Mm. Those sort of like deadline day moves and like you're waiting for it to get announced, you're doing all the press stuff, aren't you? You're doing like the media interviews and like you've signed all the contracts, but you're just waiting for that approval.
Well, you know, I think on that day I was sat in the Southampton secretary's office at 5 to midnight or whatever it was, the deadline. So I didn't even meet anyone from Stoke, or I spoke to the manager a couple times on the phone. That was it, and you know, obviously I signed on the deadline day, and I think the next day I was up there and going into training.
Oh right, yeah.
It's like a quarter of the way through the season already.
Yeah.
So that was a weird one, and I think they had a good start to the season that year. Adam Davies was playing.
Yeah.
At the start of the season, they had a good start, and I think even in the cup, they beat a couple of Premier League teams, and he was doing really well. So I went in there and didn't start straight away, and then I think a couple of weeks in, I think he ended up getting injured away at Swansea. Had to come on at half time.
That's a horrible feeling.
I think that's my only time I've ever had to come on in a game.
Horrible, wasn't it?
And it didn't really go well, to be honest.
I tell you what, see, I've come on a few times now. I came on last year at half time.
Yeah.
And honest, I've never felt so jelly legged in my life. Because you don't warm up as a goalie on a bench.
Yeah.
And like you don't get a warm up. Like before the game, you might do a little bit of shooting, but you don't do any crossing. You're not doing like you're doing half as much handling because it's all about the keeper at start.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you come on, you ain't ready.
No chance.
Even like your mentality, you've like the night before you've had a comfortable night in an hotel or at home, and it's so weird, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hope it never happens again, but obviously that happened and came on and didn't go very well. We lost the game or whatever. So I was like, oh no, but obviously he was injured, so I was in the team now, and then I think the next sort of few months done really well. I think we got sort of three or four clean sheets on the bounce. Went into a international break obviously on a high, feeling really confident, and I think it was in that international break, obviously you're in training with the lads that haven't gone away.
Yep.
And I was just done my ankle in training, syndesmosis, and at that time I think they said it was like 3 months, maybe four, but just before Christmas, and I think that obviously didn't help, the move and things like that, and obviously it was COVID, and I think after that injury it just sort of things didn't really, feel right there, and obviously I didn't. I think I only played four or five games before got that injury, and then I think I came back, played a few games before the end of the season. Didn't really feel fit or whatever, and I think I was actually supposed to stay there another year because they made it a 2-year loan. But I think after the way it sort of went that year and how it ended, I didn't really feel like I wanted to stay there, and we managed to stop that and then went back to Southampton, and in my head I was going back there to give it another go and try and get back in the team.
Yeah, obviously like that's hard in itself. Mm. When a club's loaned you out to get you games and then you go back after not playing and an injury. See, like I'm big on goalkeepers mentally, we have strong characters, but obviously when you get setbacks and that's hard to reset a lot of the time. So like you go back and you think, right, I'm going to give this a good go. But if it don't work out the first game and like people go, he's exactly the same or he's different. And like that's hard to reprove yourself at the same club almost. So it must have been, when Norwich came back around again, you must have just went, look, I'm going to go and play. I'm going to go and enjoy my football. Mm. And like, obviously that's where you are now and it's benefiting yourself with Scotland and stuff. Is that just a natural thing that as soon as it came about again to rejoin?
Yeah, no, I think obviously I went back to Southampton and, I think when I had that injury at Stoke, something kind of changed in me a little bit. And, that was probably the time where I worked the hardest I've worked before in the gym. Obviously, when you're injured, you can't really do anything. So, at that stage, I then, started doing more stuff in the gym, had that mentality, and then sort of realised that, something clicked in my head anyway, and I went back to Southampton, and, I didn't really care what happened. I just knew that I was in a good place, mentally, and, I just wanted to attack it, and I think I went and seen the manager and said I want to come back here and try and get back in the team, and the first thing he said to me was like, I don't see that, you know, I think...
Not even giving you a fair crack at
it. No, yeah. I think before I even probably trained, I think it was. And he's like, I don't see that. I think you should go out on loan again and try and prove yourself or whatever. So then after that, I was like, well, like, obviously, it's like he's, you know, doesn't want me here, not really having me. And there wasn't really too much sort of happening in the transfer window. And then I think a week or two after that, my agent rang me and said, you know, what do you think about going back to Norwich? You know, obviously, I think it was the year they got promoted, so they were Premier League again. And obviously, Tim was there playing, got promoted again. So I knew I was going there sort of as number two to try and push him and get in the team. But obviously, the manager that was there when I went on loan was still there, and he was, you know, the one that wanted me, and I got on with him very well. So, you know, in my head at that time, I felt like I want to go somewhere that you know, want me for who I am. They respect me. Obviously, I know them quite well. It seemed like a good fit at the time. So, when it came about, you know, jumped at it straight away, really.
Yeah, and obviously you're happy there and you're settled now. Mm. Like, do you feel like that reflects in your football?
Yeah, no, I think definitely. I think whenever, you know, people are, you know, players are happy, I think you always get the best out of them. And yeah, like you said, like obviously I had to bide my time a little bit, but you know, I think, you know, at that time, obviously learning from someone like Tim, who was, you know, doing really well, but obviously I knew, you know, at that stage of his career that, you know, there'd be opportunities, obviously, you know, maybe injuries or whatever. So I knew I just had to be patient, and I think that was the year the manager left Norwich as well. So Dean Smith came in halfway through the year, you know, I had to be patient again when they changed the manager. But I managed to get, I think it was 6 or 7 games in that season in the Premier League. You know, I'd done pretty well. Obviously, we got relegated. You know, but the games I'd done in, I've done well, and you know, felt pretty confident. And and then we went back into the Championship, and you know, I thought I was probably coming back in and just, you know, being number one after the way I ended the season. And I think, you know, it's obviously, I think in pre-season you never really know sometimes.
You can't gauge it sometimes, can't gauge can it. You?
And yeah,
you're playing every
we
other
were sort
game.
Of playing half each and horrible. 45 minutes each, and then I think it came to, you know, the first game I wasn't playing again. I was like, oh, like it was a bit of a kick in the teeth. So yeah, no, I think at that time I had to stay patient. Obviously, I don't think we started really well that year actually. But then I think it got to a sort of middle of the season, just before Christmas, and we had a big dip, and then managed to get in the team, and then yeah, felt really good, you know, done really well, and I think ever since then, sort of, you know, played most of the games since then, really.
Yeah, nice. Right, I'm going to get onto our quiz now, just to break this up. Mm. Right, I've got a quiz called Goalie or No Goalie. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, no, I've seen it.
Right, so it's 1 point for each correct answer, and I've got 5 international current goalkeepers. You might have even played against some of them. Mm. And then 5 other names from around the world. Yeah. Normally, I scroll through your social media and find out who you're following, mate. It's a bit of stalking. Yeah, so 1 point for each correct answer, right?
Yeah.
Get scores out then. Think what's your knowledge like?
I think it's good, but you're probably going to prove it.
Yeah,
prove me wrong.
This means absolutely nothing if your knowledge is good, mate. This is all guessing.
Yeah.
Right. Well, crack straight in. So number one, Stanislav Buknev.
Sounds Bulgarian. I'm going to say keeper.
He is a goalie, yeah. But it's Armenian.
Oh, I'll take it.
Very good guess that he plays for Pujanic.
Yeah.
Very good guess that. See, the names, every name on this list will sound like they should play in goal.
Really?
Every name. Decent, that. Good start. Right, number 2, Adrian. Right, let's get my pronunciations right. Adrian Wojnarowski. Wojnarowski. Adrian Wojnarowski.
I don't think he's
No, he is not a goalkeeper. He is a ESPN NBA insider commentator.
Yeah, I knew that.
Really famous guy in NBA. Right, good start. Great start. Right, number three, Ralph Shawn.
Ralph Shawn. That sounds like he should be a keeper, but I don't think he is. No goalkeeper.
He is a goalkeeper. He is the Luxembourg and Wilts goalkeeper. Sounds like a goalie because he is a goalie.
Yeah. Guide.
Yeah. Right, number four, Jack McDermott.
I'm going to go no goalkeeper.
He is not a goalie. He's actually a Pie Face, a YouTube streamer and Twitcher. He's really famous in Plymouth.
Yeah.
He was on Big Brother as a young puff as well. What a program. I've not started watching a new Big Brother, actually.
No, I've not.
Programs. Not where it used to be.
No.
Right, number five, Armando Iannucci.
It's got to be a goalkeeper. Yeah.
Goalie?
Yeah.
He is not a goalkeeper. He is the co-creator for the famous Norwich show, Alan Partridge.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's actually the co-creator.
I didn't
proper
know
Norwich show, that.
Yeah, not watched it.
Nah? Oh, you'll get some stick off the Norwich fans there, won't you?
Oh, well.
Right, number six, Ujukan Kakir.
Ujukan Kakir. Goalkeeper.
He is a goalie. Yeah. He's Turkey and Trabzonspor goalkeeper.
Really?
My pronunciations today are decent.
Yeah.
Ugurkan Kakir, nice.
Kakir.
Right, Oliver Bowman.
I don't know where I know this from. Goalkeeper.
He is a goalie, yeah. He's a German fourth choice goalkeeper. Yeah, he's at Hoffenheim.
Yeah, I've heard that name.
Yeah. He was in the last squad with Germany.
Right.
But they've got such a good... You're never going to play for Germany.
No, no chance.
Ter Stegen play. You've got Neuer, Trapp. Got some goalie, by the way. Right, number eight is Aniban Lahiri.
Aniban.
Aniban Lahiri. How's my pronunciation, Rob? What do you reckon? Not bad.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, sound.
Goalkeeper.
He is not a goalkeeper. He's pro golfer on the LIV Tour. He's actually in Bryson DeChambeau's team.
No, I never do that.
No. You follow his team, I think. That's where I got it from. The LIV Golf, and I think you follow his team. I think it's Crashers.
Oh.
That's where I got that from. Went rogue and just went deep. In
No, I think I've never seen him before. No.
They won their last LIV tournament, I think.
Yeah.
That's a good curveball, that one. I like that one. Right, number nine, Abdul Nuruddin.
Would you a goalkeeper, aren't we, surely? Goalkeeper.
He is a goalie. He's Ghana and European goalkeeper in Belgium.
Nice.
Yeah. Decent. All right. Last one. Number 10, Ford Kiernan.
No goalkeeper.
He is not a goalie. Good way to finish that. He is the actor from Still Game, Scottish show.
Yeah,
Jack.
Seen him.
Yeah. I'm sure all the lads, most of the Scottish lads will berate you if you hadn't got that one right.
Yeah, no, to be fair, I'd never really seen it before I went away to Scotland, but since I've sort of been with the squad, I've watched a lot of it.
Yeah. Honestly, I played in Scotland for 5 years, and that's all the lads in the dressing room talked about.
Yeah.
Still Game and Rabsy Nesbitt. All they talked about. It's actually a class programme.
Yeah.
Right, well done, mate. 7 out of 10.
I'll take that.
Got to be happy with that. Yeah. It's a good score in that, mate. Yeah. Very good.
What's the record?
10 out of 10.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. There's some bad ones, though. Some have got 4s out of 10. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Mate, if you just get goalie for everyone, you get
half. Yeah, no, it's true.
So it's a fair enough quiz. There's some good trick names in there, though.
Yeah.
Right, let's go on to some geeky goalkeeper stuff then, right? So what gloves do you currently wear?
Wearing the Pumas at the moment. I don't actually know what name they're called.
What brand? What they are. You know they're Pumas.
Pumas, yeah.
How long have you been with Puma?
Probably a couple years now.
Yeah.
I think it started off from just wearing their boots.
Yeah.
Started wearing their boots. And then all of a sudden they started just sending me gloves with the boots. So just tried them out in training. And I was... loved them straight away. So,
Did they send you all different cuts and that, or was it just like they sent you out?
Sent me these ones. I think
It's odd to see someone wearing negative palms. I love seeing it.
They make them sort of, I think they used to make these specially for Pickford.
Yep.
And then, you know, they started sending me them and I thought, yeah, these are nice. So I'm not sure they actually release them like on sale.
Yep.
Because they changed like the back of the palm and stuff like that. So yeah, no, ever since I've started wearing them, they're so comfy and yeah, I just love them.
Really. I was surprised though, obviously, when you brought them in, but the latex is still in such good condition.
Yeah,
how many games and training sessions do you reckon you've worn them in?
What, these ones here?
Yeah.
I'd probably say, depends normally. I like to wear them in one training session, then in a game. And then depends how the game goes. So sometimes if I've had a clean sheet, I normally stick with the same pair of gloves.
Yeah.
And depends on how long that run goes for. But I'll probably say that probably two or three games I'll get out of them.
Yeah. Mate, I've got a story about that. So at the start of this season, obviously Fozzie started the season and then he retired. Then I got back in the team. And so, you know, like you go back to your old, like comfy pair. So I found a pair of gloves from like 3 years ago of Selzy's gloves and they're brand new.
Yeah.
So I put them on, wore them. So 8 games in, we hadn't lost a game. I was like, these feel class.
Yeah,
like, I'd not get, it was like during pre-season I played in them. I was class, mate, the ninth game. Like, you know, when like, you're like, no, I'll go again.
Yeah,
we lost 5-0. Oh, I was like, they just went straight in the bin.
Gloves fall, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't play after that, so I didn't need them anyway.
Oh.
What size gloves do you wear?
10.
Yeah.
I think they might be 10 and a half.
Yeah.
Because they're quite a tight glove. And I like them quite tight, to be fair.
Yeah. That's so you say that you like them tight, but like the negative cut are normally a bit wider, aren't they, on the finger?
Yeah, yeah.
But is that just for comfort that you like them? Or?
Yeah, just for comfort and feel of the ball.
Yep.
I think when I was younger, I used to wear gloves, like, you know, when you used to just wear gloves way too big for you.
Or too thick, the foam.
Yeah, no. So I think nowadays, like, I like the feel of the ball, and but at the same time not too flimsy at the back as well, because my fingers are quite delicate. So I've had quite a few sort of injuries. So.
Do you tape them up then?
Yeah, most of them. Yeah.
Yep.
Not every finger, but both my thumbs and you know.
I'm a massive advocate of taping your fingers.
Yeah.
I tape up little finger, index finger, and my right thumb.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's probably more of a habit now, really.
Yep. How weird is it when you don't do it though?
Yeah, no, it feels weird. I've had it a few times, and you never really get out of your head until like, normally I just end up running in and doing it, even if you know I miss a bit of training.
Yep. Do you know what I like the feeling of? It's the traction that the tape gives on the inside of your gloves.
Yeah.
I know some Puma gloves have got the nodules in, aren't they? They're like the
Them ones, I don't think those ones have it, no.
No, but so some gloves give you that when you've.
I like
that feeling of when the tape. It's like friction against the material.
Like I said before, I quite a tight glove, so even and that probably makes it even tighter. So.
Yeah,
I always tape most of my fingers out. Yeah.
Are you wrists as well?
Yeah, just because I do both my thumbs, so
It goes right round.
Strap them around the wrist, just keep the thumb strapping in. Yeah. Really.
I get a load of questions, but how do you look after your gloves? You don't. You just throw them away because you get a new pair of the game.
Nah, I actually put them in the wash.
Yeah.
You
told me this before, it blew my mind.
I used to like wash them in the showers and just do it like that, but then I used to get like a reaction on my hands.
Yep.
I just used fingertips used to blister.
Yep.
And that was absolute agony, and ever since then I just put them in the wash.
So do you give them to the kit man to put in the wash, or do you take a moment and wash them?
No, I give them to
has the he got certain man. Instructions like wash on a 30?
Not really. But I think, you know, kit, they always wash stuff like, put it in for 20 minutes, wash it on a 30 anyway.
Yeah.
So,
don't put near a radiator to dry.
No, they always come out pretty good, to be fair.
Yeah. Put a lot of trust in your kit man, then.
Yeah. To be fair, sometimes they come out and they're like all yellow.
Yep.
I don't know whether that's maybe because of the home kit or.
It must be the colouring in the kit.
Yeah, it must be. But when it's a white glove, it always, you know, looks pretty bad. So I end up just chucking them away.
Yep.
So. But yeah, no, I think. I used to do them in the shower and, you know, do them myself. But, I had to just sort of get them properly cleaned in the end.
Yeah, you're quite a laid-back person anyway, so I can't imagine you being that stressed. If they do come out yellow or ruined, you just go, I'll just put a new pair on it.
I'll just wear them in training and then just have a new pair for games. So,
yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty chilled about everything, really.
Yeah. You got any superstitions then?
Not really, no. I'm quite laid back, but at the same time, I'm quite OCD about my time.
Yep.
So I don't really like getting to stadiums late. Like, you know, when you're on the coach. Yep. And
it's stressful when you're late.
Yeah, like rushing around. Like I said before, obviously I tape my fingers. You know, I like having a bit of time to sort of relax and get ready.
Yep.
So that's probably my only sort of thing that I like. But I'm not really that superstitious, to be honest.
Yeah, I've got a favourite time on a match day. You know, straight after your warm up, I go in like 15 minutes before kickoff, because that, you know, going in the dressing room for 10 minutes and there's no one else in there, that's like my favourite time. You know, like you gather your own thoughts, you think about the game, like you read over like your penalty stuff and like the opposition set pieces.
Yeah.
And, like, I find that just that environment of just being in the dressing room, just quiet and chilled, getting ready, like changing your full kit, and that's just a nice, solace place.
Yeah, no, that is a good time, to be fair. But yeah, no, I don't like sitting there too long, because then I sort of get a bit worried, like, what's going on here?
Yeah, you like worrying about time, though, didn't you?
Yeah, no.
I think you're going to miss kickoff.
I've actually got really bad OCD time-wise.
Yeah.
I get really anxious as well.
Does that carry on into your personal life?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can't be late for anything.
No. Obviously, like, you know, footballers always have sort of fine lists and stuff like that. And, that's probably one of my biggest fears, like, getting fined for being late.
Yeah.
So I'm always at training probably two hours or an hour and a half before we need to be in.
Yeah.
Not just because of that, because I like getting ready and whatever, but I have a big fear of that.
Yeah, so I always say this to other people, but the goalkeepers are either the calmest person in the building and most calculated, or they're the most like hot-headed, and like there's like two different types of goalie. Yeah. It's always the same way.
Yeah.
And when you get two that work together, it don't match. It don't work. It's a weird situation. But when you get you all that are quite laid back and you just enjoy training, you all get there early and sit around and have a coffee and you do your stuff in the gym, and it's a nice environment when you're a goalie.
I've never really thought about that, but now you say it, that is pretty bang on.
There is, isn't there? Obviously, like, we talked about Joe Hart before, but he's like full of energy, on it the whole time, like goes out, looks pumped.
Yeah.
But then you'll get like you, like Alex McCarthy, that like very quiet, like very chilled, laid back, and like it is what it is.
Yeah,
isn't it?
No, I never thought that. That's right, to be fair. Yeah.
But like, we've got a lot of young audience that listen to the show. So I always say, like, try and find a goalie to model yourself on who you like. So I've said it many times on here, but like, I used to love Van der Sar, how he played, his body type. I'll just do what he does. And he's very casual, like laid back, but on it.
Yeah.
So like, I was like, look, if he's calming, that's what I'm going to play calming.
Yeah.
And that's what I always tried to play. Yeah. I never thought about like, I want to kick it well. I just want to play calm. Yeah. I don't want people to feel worried. So like, you're obviously quite a chilled out person anyway.
Yeah, 100%.
Do you think much into your training routines, or do you just leave all that to your goalie coach? Do you like to have a structure?
No, not really. I like just sort of going with the flow. Yeah. Or obviously, like, if there's, like, he always comes to you and asks, like, what anything you want to do, like, before the weekend or whatever, like, and there's, you know, if I want to do a bit of crossing or a little bit of distribution or whatever, but I don't really like sort of dictating stuff or anything like that. I just like going with the flow, really.
Do you do a lot of work then into the opposition, or do you leave that to them and they'll approach you if they've got someone that shoots from 30 yards of the game?
Yeah, no, we always, training's always sort of based on the opposition, and we have probably a meeting couple of days before a game on sort of analysing their sort of strengths of their attackers. I think, you know, just little bits. It's not like over information. Like, I think that can be bad, because then you're sort of looking for something that might not come.
Yeah. This is where I think there's really good skill in a really good goalie coach, because they'll do all that work and put it into your training
without
sessions
saying,
and you never know. So like, you could be playing, don't know, like the old Stoke that used to put loads of crosses in, and like, for that week before, you'd just be doing crossing every day, and by the end of the week you'd be like, oh, I've done crossing, but it's because of who you're playing against, or if you've got a free kick expert, like, they'll creep in a way of doing shots from distance, and you'll get that into your mindset. It's like a knowledge thing that you'll just pick it up straight away.
To be fair, that's pretty much how it goes. Like, He when we see stuff on like probably the Friday before the game, and like thinking like, oh, why have we done loads of like low crosses this week? And like obviously there's opposition strengths, low crossing.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it's I think coaching has maybe changed now.
Yeah.
I think like obviously back in the day it used to be a couple of volleys, you know, maybe you know, a few crosses.
A dive pendulum.
Yeah, and everyone just have shots from the edge of the box. But yeah, no, like the detail they go into now is you know, pretty crazy, really.
Yeah. And right, and then do you do much in the gym?
Yeah, to be fair, I think, like I said before, I didn't really used to sort of buy into it that much when I was younger, which I sort of regret now, really. And then sort of, can't remember when it was, maybe when I went to Southampton, I think, yeah, when I started working with Dave Watson at Southampton, he sort of got me into it. And then,
loved, you know, it,
yeah, ever since then, I sort of just loved it, really. And now, you know, now I've sort of gone full circle. Now, like, I'm like massive on it.
Yeah, what do you do in the gym? What is your go to? What do you find benefits you?
So, like, I always like to do like a big power session on a Friday, like
on the
day before a game.
No
yeah.
way.
Yeah, no, so it's not like, it's not massive, like it's not too hard, but it's more like explosive stuff.
Yeah.
Like short reps. You know, quite sometimes heavy, but then more just plyometrics and
a lot of dynamic movements.
Yeah. Just sort of feels like it gets me sort of going for the weekend.
Do you do that on a Friday before training?
Yeah, before training. Yeah.
So then go out and when train. You go into training, obviously a Friday session's never normally that long. Do you?
Yeah, I always feel class, like really good on a Friday. Yeah,
that's interesting. That I've never seen it like that way done.
Mm.
Normally people do like Thursday's work day.
Yeah, no, I think it used to be Thursday, and then I feel like I sort of realised that I felt really good after it.
Yeah.
So then I was like, why not do it on a Friday, like even closer to the game.
Yeah, nice.
Because you never really feel that sore from it or anything.
No, you
like
don't.
That.
No, not as a goalie.
Yeah. So ever since then, I've just sort of, you know, feel like I sort of need at least something before. And it's hard now when we go over Scotland, like away games, when you don't really have the facilities to do that kind of thing. Like I just have to sort of make stuff up. I'm just sort of doing like squat jumps in hotel rooms.
Some of the hotel gyms are terrible as well.
So,
aren't they?
Sometimes I need a bit of improvisation, but no, that's probably my biggest thing.
Do you travel with much equipment yourself? Are you a big one on like away trips that you take your own like clingy bands and stuff like that?
Yes, normally I take. To be fair, I like sort of trigger point balls.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm obviously massive and traveling doesn't really agree with my body. So whenever I'm traveling, I always have a trigger point ball. Like even if it's on the coach, I just put it sort of in, you know, in my glutes or my back, and that helps me quite a lot. So that's probably the only thing that I really sort of use now.
Yeah, traveling. I don't think people understand how much traveling gets to you.
Yeah.
Like your lower back, your glutes, even my hip flexors go tight. That's what I know is like the bottom of my hamstrings because it's just a seated position. Yeah. But like I've ruptured my right hip flexor a long time ago and like I have to do so much work on that now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, traveling like doesn't agree with me, but I think now I've sort of learned how to deal with it.
Yep. That's just an experience. Yeah, you know your own body as you get older.
Yeah, exactly. So, so that's probably the only thing I sort of take when I'm traveling, really.
Yeah. Right. I've got a couple more, just a few final ones. But what's your release away from football?
I'd say golf, but I always, when I get into it, I always seem to sort of get an injury where I can't play golf. So, like, sometimes I've had a few shoulder injuries. Like when I'm getting into golf and then it sort of puts me back.
Yeah.
So, can't really be golf to be fair. But now I've got a couple of dogs, so I just like getting fresh air. And
just getting straight out, walking the dogs.
Yeah, taking the dogs out. And other than that, I don't really have too much, to be honest.
I've got a dog as well, but like planning your days around walking a dog, it's so good though on your day off. Like Sunday mornings, nothing better than walking a dog, is there? But obviously, like your training schedule, we were talking about this before, you now train on a Sunday or sometimes on a Saturday night and then you'll have the Monday off.
Yeah.
Do you find that works better for you?
Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. It's one of them. Like
depends on results always, isn't it?
Results and like what like your friends or your family are doing on that day. But I think sometimes you feel like, oh, I I'd love the Sunday off, like, just standard, like, go for a roast, like, just chill out with the family. But then sometimes it's nice on a Monday as well because, you know, kids are at nursery, or my kids at nursery, and you just have that kind of day to yourself.
Yeah.
And you do what you want, really. So sometimes it works, sometimes it's
annoying. That's why Wednesday's a classmate. Yeah. You get to play golf and the kids are at school. Yeah. Love having them about, but I get to play golf on Wednesday.
No, yeah. Blessing that.
Yeah, exactly. That's my release anyway. Right, finally then, Angus. What does a goalkeepers' union mean to you? I like this deep question. Yeah, everyone's answer is so different, you know.
Yeah, to me, I think it's just kind of loyalty, really. I think just like, obviously, outside, like outfield players, they always, you know, look at us and think, you know, a bunch of weirdos. But it's just that kind of close-knit group that we just have a laugh with, really. Just, you know, a couple of mates having a few shots together. I think, obviously, there's always one that's playing and one that's not, and then obviously younger lads, but I think it's just, you know, the camaraderie between each other. And, you know, sometimes it is hard, like, obviously, but I think just trying to enjoy it with your mates and just have a laugh, really.
Yeah, no, superb, mate. Yeah, exactly that, mate. I don't think there is like one way you can sum it up. Like, everyone's take on it. And then I listen to them all now. I've done like 50 shows and I'm like, I like that bit. And I'm like, that's what it means to me. And then like, the next person comes in the next week. I'm like, I get that. Like, it's just that camaraderie, that like that balance that you have of like, you understand what they're going through, whether you're in, even like when you're playing and you know, the number two's not like the way that you treat them and they treat you. Like, it's just special, but like outfielders don't get it because there's like, 20 of them, 30 of them. Yeah. They don't ever get that like one-on-one interaction of like your rivals but best friends. Like, no one ever knows that feeling.
Yeah, it's definitely special.
Yeah.
I love it.
No, mate, thank you very much for coming on. No worries. It's been an absolute class episode. Thank you very much, Angus Gunn, mate.
Nice one.
Thank you. This has been the Yours Mine Away podcast with me, Mark Howard. Massive shout out to our two sponsors, Mito Red Light and Forged Irish Stout, for being part of the pod. Make sure you like and subscribe. Thanks a lot, guys. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.